In a video we prepared last week, we described the mechanism behind the four-sided Ponzi pyramid scheme that helps to explain the present global financial crisis. However, this can best be grasped if we look at this global financial crisis within a much grander scheme, which is the so-called New World Order. We hear a lot about the New World Order these days. We know something is happening out there, but we're not quite sure what. In a way, where there's smoke, there is fire, and we can see that the New World Order fire is spreading, and spreading quickly. Seeing the state of the dire state of the world nowadays, our instinct tells us that there is definitely something wrong. Something is rotten, and not exactly in the state of Denmark. But the excuse seems to be, it's the New World Order. And I'd like to talk about the New World Order. The New World Order really is, is a generic term. It's an overhaul, it's a description of the overhaul to go into the next stage. Let's look back in history. We had a New World Order in 1919 when the victorious allies, Britain, France, and the United States, defeated the Central Powers, Germany, Austria-Hungary, and the Turkish Empire. It was very politically centered, but they did get together in Paris, France, to plan out the New World Order. And that sort of guaranteed, the conditions were so bad against Germany and the defeated powers, that it guaranteed the Second World War. But the important thing is that at that time, in 1919, to plan out the New World Order, they founded two organizations, the New York-based Council on Foreign Relations and the London-based Royal Institute of International Affairs, also known as Chatham House. It destroyed, that New World Order had achieved destroying the conservative monarchies and preparing the way for socialisms, communism, even national socialism and other socialisms. Then we had the Second World War. And in 1945, again they met to prepare a New World Order. And what was that New World Order? Well, after Yalta and the division of the world, it was basically splitting the world up between the United States and its allies and the Soviet Union and its allies. And they also prepared a very economically centered New World Order. They founded the Bretton Woods Conference, the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, the organization, the Trade Organization. It was the USSR against the USA. And now, when we get to 1991, again, George H.W. Bush Sr. announced in 1991 that we had a New World Order because the Soviet Union had collapsed, and the New World Order at that time was globalization, which was the consolidation of private power, and it was the consolidation of the deregulation of the economy and so forth. And what do we have today in 2008, 2009? The advent of another New World Order. And this time, the New World Order will not be mere globalization. It is something much stronger and much more dangerous. It is world government. On 8th December 2008, the Financial Times in London published an article by one of their main journalists, Mr. Gideon Rachman, where Mr. Rachman says in an article, the title of which says it all, the title said, "And now it's world government. Let's go for world government." And what he says is that there are basically three major crises in the world. The global warming crisis, the global financial crisis, and of course global terrorism that require a global solution. And he says, I'm not talking about governability or governance. I'm not talking about international cooperation. I am talking about world government. That means a lot for everybody. So what do they talk about when they say world government? Well, first of all, we've had world government for much longer than you think. We just don't see it. Because we always think of government as something public, with all the trappings and symbols of public government. The flag, the president in the Oval Office, hail to the chief when he gets on, when he comes on in his official capacity, military honors, intense media coverage. This is so in the United States, in Europe, in Argentina, whether it's the White House, whether it's 10 Downing Street, whether it's the Casa Rosada in Argentina, whether it's Capitol Hill. But if you analyze it, the most profound change that the world has undergone in the last 40 years is that power, the capacity to do, the capacity to make things happen in one way and not in another, that power, which is colossal, has been privatized. We talk a lot about privatizations, and we think of the telephone companies, the railways, I don't know, the gas company. Okay, those are operational privatizations, but the real privatization of the last 30 or 40 years is the privatization of power. And this is where public opinion gets confused, because we think, and rightly so, that public institutions, government institutions, are there to promote the common good, or at least they should be there. However, if we have a private world government, which is run by private institutions, as we will see in a moment, then we've got a problem, because private institutions don't really have an obligation, a legitimate obligation, to work for the common good. Private organizations, legitimately so, work for their own good. So there we have one of the keys of the problem. We have a world government, but it is mostly private, and the private institutions running the world government are not geared or focused on the common good. So what we have nowadays is private power. And private power is the power running the world government. Can we see it? Not easy. Is it a conspiracy? No way. And I'm going to tell you why. Because the organizations running this, until now, private world government, have names, addresses, websites, emails. They issue documents, they publish books, they have logos, they make reports. It's all out there. All you need to do is, like a jigsaw puzzle, put the pieces together. Keep in mind, however, that whilst public power organizations, government, are very rigid, monolithic, vertical, and sluggish, the branches of government, the executive, the legislative, the judiciary, the levels of government, national or state or federal, state or provincial, as in Argentina we have provinces, and municipal. But it's very, very structured and very sluggish. Private power has given itself the necessary global institutions to manage itself, and private power institutions are highly flexible. Operationally, they're very horizontal, or although it's vertical in the chain of command, they are adaptable and they move very fast, like quicksilver. Basically, the world's private power organizations can be described as a vast, loose, global network of think tanks, NGOs, non-government organizations, and lobbies, centered basically in the industrialized world. I would say there are about 2,000 of these think tanks the world over. And since this is very vertical in the chain of command, of those 2,000 think tanks, there are 200 that are the ones that really count. And of those 200, there are 20 that really have clout. And of those 20, there are 4 or 5 that sit at the very pinnacle of this global power pyramid. And those 4 or 5 have names. It's no conspiracy, and I'm going to name them for you. You probably know this. It's the Council on Foreign Relations, founded in 1919 when they had to prepare the New World Order after the First World War. It's its sister organization, the RIAA, the Royal Institute of International Affairs, Chatham House as it is called, based in London, also founded in 1919. It's the so-called Bilderberger Conference, founded in 1954, and that is probably the most powerful of these 4 or 5 that I'm going to describe, and it's been magnificently described and explained in a book by the Spanish author Daniel Estulin, and that was founded in 1954. And it's the Trilateral Commission, founded by Rockefeller and Kissinger and other the Rothschilds back in 1973 to coordinate the actions of the United States, Western Europe at that time, and Japan, and it's grown ever since. And here's where you can find some patterns which help to explain how this world government works. I've written a book called El Cerebro del Mundo, la cara oculta de la globalización. It's in Spanish, and it would translate as The World's Mastermind, the Hidden Face of Globalization. I prepared a short article in English with a synopsis or a summary of this book, and hopefully we'll be able to publish it in English later on. But this book analyzes, studies this private world government, and it does so pretty much centered on the Council on Foreign Relations in New York. And the Council on Foreign Relations in New York is an example I'd like to take because it helps to explain what's really happening. The CFR, as they are called, has about 4,500 US-based members. They issue an annual report. It's for free. All you have to do is write to them and ask them, and they'll send it to you for free. And amongst other things, at the very end of the book, they will give you the full list of the 4,500 members.